In the previous book of Nahum here, talks about the Nineveh being laid waste. Last part talks about no healing for Nineveh. I believe Habakkuk here realized the desperate need of Judah here in the their departure from God and their deep spiritual need of returning to God. And he had a heart cry for this. And I Habakkuk was a prophet who had seen this The name of Habakkuk means to embrace. His name took the nation to heart, comforted and held it up as one embraces seeking to calm and console it with good hope. He was a man, I believe, who showed deep care and concern for Judah as a nation. He was a man of, we'll look at, who cared deeply for this nation. This time frame was between 612 and 616. Babylon was making her westward move toward conquest. This morning I'd like to look at 3 points from this book. I believe we're happy. Man with a burden. Verses here. Burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why does this violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention? Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. I believe there's a difference here between Habakkuk and other prophets. Many of the prophets took a message to the people, a message that God gave. Here instead, Habakkuk is taking the Lord's message. He took the Lord's message directly to the people. He takes the complaint of the people directly to God, representing them in their complaint. And as Habakkuk does this, we noticed in these first few verses, he pours out his heart cry to God. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear." I don't believe Habakkuk totally believed that God wasn't hearing him. But I think that what he's seeing around him made him wonder how long God was going to be merciful to these people in the state they were in. And believe he had some legitimate questions, but he had questions that were from his heart. They were not blaming God, but they were questions because he had a true desire to know what God wanted of his people and for himself. And this process of wanting to know God and what he thinks is a way that we need to do. We humbly cry out to God. The process begins with a burden for the needs around us. I had to think of that with the needs of the world around us. And even as far as we think about So many religious groups are failing today in taking seriously what God has called his people to do, and many are losing their way in apostasy, and it can look like a desperate situation, a time of famine, and we can cry out to God in these times and ask God where he wants us to be and how we should look at these things. The first point I have is his burden, faith grappling with the problem. He had faith, and that is the key in this book. I believe that it brings out is faith. It's a key word. This prophet raises the question. He laments over the violence. And he says in verses 1 to 4, how can the Lord cry? And wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come for all violence. Their faces shall sup and as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them, and they shall deride a very stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. God is not indifferent toward the needs around us. I believe it when we get to this point like Habakkuk did, where we recognize that we ourselves need God, and that we have a desire, we can ask God a question of, like Habakkuk did, what does he have for us in this? Do you see this? How are we supposed to relate to these things that we're faced with? God takes keen interest in that. But God's heart, I believe, is touched and warmed when he sees them. burn incense into their dreg, because by them their portion is spare continually to slay the nations? How can God employ such an impure and godless people? And this was, I believe, hard for Hezekiah to grasp and to understand. But I found it so interesting, just really stood out to me in studying this, Habakkuk's response to this question, that God's response to him. In chapter 2, verse 1, notice what he says here. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower and will watch and see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Here, I believe, Habakkuk put his, he showed his faith by his action here. He said he will sit and watch and see what God has for him and what God is trying to show him and teach him. Habakkuk exercised and showed his patience to wait and watch for God's answer. Here he was carrying this heavy burden, and God showed by his answer that he indeed was here to be with Habakkuk and through going through with his burden with him. God answered Habakkuk first, his first question, by saying he will use the Chaldeans to punish the wickedness and violence of Judah. But the Chaldeans were wicked also, so he wondered how could God use them. Habakkuk also was a man, which takes us to our second point. He was a man of vision. And it takes faith also to have vision. It takes faith in all these steps we want to look at today. Faith grasping the solution to the problem here that Habakkuk seen. God's answer here, the just shall live by his faith. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write this vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Habakkuk, in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, Habakkuk is asked by God to write what God is going to reveal to him. He was to keep track of what God said to him. And in verse 4, chapter 2, the proud is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. I found it interesting also in this verse. There's two verses in the New Testament that say the same thing. And that is in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It also uses the term, the just shall live by faith. God's second answer, God will judge the proud. God has promised it. Here he says, he will do this in his appointed time. And in the end, he will show himself strong. He will speak, says, and not lie. Just wait for it. Wait for God's timing. Then we notice in the verses, woe for the violence and deceitfulness. I don't know if I'll take the time to read all them verses, but in verses chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, it says, woe to the proud, possessed with the lust of conquest and plunder. Them that just are full of destruction. Woe to their efforts to build a permanent empire through cruelty and godless gain, like it says in verses 9 to 11. Then in verses 12 to 14, woe to those who build cities with bloodshed. 15 to 17, woe to those with cruelty in how they treat those they conquested. And then in verses 18 to 20, woe to them, to those given to idolatry. Those who worship things when there is no breath at all. While the Lord is in his holy temple before, when the earth should keep silence. The answers to Habakkuk's second question appears to be this. While God will use one wicked nation like Babylon to punish the wickedness of Judah, he will not let Babylon's wickedness go unpunished either. Both, all wickedness God will deal with in due time. And I believe God made this clear to Habakkuk. He is not overlooking these things or indifferent to it. He will deal with it in his own timing. And as we look at situations around us, may our faith be strengthened and allow God to work out his timing. I think this was a time, Habakkuk's questions here were a time when he could understand God in a more real way, even though he didn't understand how God was going to work all these things out. But God did give him some promises here that I believe give Habakkuk some ground to stand on, and that he could have confidence that God will meet his need. It says, God will speak and he will not lie. He will continue on what his purpose is, and it will be for the good of the nation and for the good of his people. Third point, his prayer. Faith glorying in assurance. A petition for God's mercy in action. I'd like to look at Habakkuk 3, verses 1 here. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make it known in the wrath of God's wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And the brightness was as a light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and he beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. Perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Here was a petition for God's mercy and action. These two verses, and also in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk's prayer to God, asking God to revive his works, and in the midst of his wrath, remember mercy. These two verses 1 in chapter 3 and verse 19 are like written in the form of a psalm. His prayer also showed praise for God's past deliverance. In chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, his mighty works in the past. He referred to them, and they were God. He could praise God for this because he understood that God was in control. And then in verses 17 to 19, he expresses his faith that while trouble may come, he can still rejoice in the Lord, who will be his strength. Here we find one of the greatest expressions of faith that were found in Habakkuk's response and how he related to this. I'll read the last of these verses, go from verse 8 to the end of the chapter. It says, praise for God's power. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths and the tribes. Even thy word, Selah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled over flowing of water, of the water passed by. In the deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land of indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of the villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I believe Habakkuk seen God in a more real way. He sought God with his questions, and he had a burden. And God was more than gracious and kind to him in how he revealed himself to him. And I think when Habakkuk came to God in this way, we can see his response in verse 18 and 19. He understood in a more real way God's purpose for these things. And it helps to take our eyes off maybe the, as humans we can tend to focus on things that are around us and they look overwhelming. But yet when we realize our dependence on God, I'm just so thankful this morning that we can say the same thing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God is always there. He is always faithful. In conclusion, what are some lessons we can learn from this short book? One thing we know for certain is that God works in mysterious ways, but we do know one thing, is that God will deal with the wicked. He will judge the wicked, and he brings that out very clearly in the New Testament. Evil is always self-destructive. I believe God is asking, what is he asking of us? I believe he's asking the righteous to be patient and trusting in God. Put our trust in him. Have faith in him. We can know that the tyranny and the arrogance of the wicked will eventually fall. They will be dealt with. And also the fact of divine discipline. In the book of Habakkuk, it is shown in the suffering of a nation. I believe this is God's way of disciplining sin, evil, that people were doing to try and wake the nation up. I believe the most important lesson we can learn from this book also is the value of faith. We need to have faith in our God, even though at times we might feel weak in that and small. But that's okay. I believe Habakkuk felt that. And that's why he asked God these questions from his heart. Let's not be scared to do that when we, from our heart, desire to hear what God has for us to learn. And let's ask God to help us to keep our focus on His work, where He has called us to, and not allow the things around us to overwhelm us. Those whose faith is grounded and strong will rejoice in the Lord, and we'll have a song to sing. We'll be able to sing praises to our God. I believe this is Habakkuk's, he had his prayer, but I believe he also had a song on his lips for what God's revealed to him and his faithfulness in helping him to go through this difficult time. God will help you. He will help me through a difficult experiences and the things that we see. Let's not let these things take us down and discourage us, but rather may we take courage and stand for Christ. And we'll call for a closing song this time.